the podcast with everything paranormal. It's the 222 Paranormal Podcast, starring your host Jen Shortridge and her very handsome brother Joe Shortridge.
Are you drunk?
Yeah, a little bit. No, I'm just kidding. I've not been drinking. I've been very, very well behaved lately.
Good, good. I noticed that the refrigerator here in the studio just has water in it for some
only
reason.
Only water, because we are on the path to health and wellness.
That's right.
Right?
My DDP yoga is going good.
Go, Joe. Go, Joe. It's your birthday.
I think I've lost about a half a pound.
Hey. But if, you know what? If you bought a half a pound of ground round or something, look at it. That is not a small fee.
Okay, thank you for putting that in perspective.
But you have to, though, I know. Like, remember Oprah brought the wagon of 50 pounds of fat out?
No, I don't.
Oh, good. That was 100 million years ago. I'm dating myself again. But anyways, so Joe, what's going on?
We received an email.
Okay.
And they asked us if we ever go over the equipment or anything like that. And I said, yeah, we went over that already. I looked back, and it was like show number two or something like that.
What's in the backpack?
they asked us to go over the basics again, which I was like, you know what? I think that's a good idea because you always have to go back to the basics.
Yeah, definitely. There's some lessons we've learned since, you know,
on
many investigations we've done. So, yeah, Joe and I just want to bring you guys some, you know, just, and for our new listeners who, you know, not quite sure or haven't been on a ghost hunt and something just went down in front of you. I don't know if you saw that.
It's probably Nate the gnat.
No, it was white. It was weird.
Okay.
Okay. You know, this is the strange.
Did you just see an orb?
I don't know, but maybe. Strange things happen in the studio late night when we're taping.
But I mentioned Nate the gnat because the gnats are horrible this year. I went to the park and tried to walk. And I actually, today, I look and there's a gnat flying in my house. I'm like, what the heck? So I named him Gnat, or Nate the gnat.
See, now you have a pet.
Yeah.
I've been trying to get Joe to get a dog for years, and now he's got a pet. But anyway, so.
Yeah, they wanted us, or this person emailed me, and she asked, you know, can we go over the basics? And another, I talked to someone last night, and she's, I don't know if she looked at my Facebook page or what, but it's like she was asking me all these questions about, are you a paranormal investigator and all that stuff? I'm like, well, I don't consider myself a paranormal investigator, but I do investigate. I do ghost hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And she was asking the same thing, you know, what equipment should I use? Where do I go? How do I find out? You know, all that stuff. So we were thinking, why don't we just throw it out for another show?
Go back to basics.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what is ghost hunting? So let's just tell everybody. Okay, so there's paranormal investigating and there's ghost hunting.
Yeah, I do ghost hunting.
I do too.
And I consider paranormal investigating, there's different types of teams out there that do different types of investigations. I mean, you get some of the teams that they'll research a place and really dig into a place and have a lot of interviews months before they even show up at a place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a true paranormal investigation in the fact that they do all the research. There's other teams that do a little bit of research and then show up at the location. There's even some that they'll ask to be, you know, come to a private investigation or that, and they won't look up any info because you don't want to be swayed. You want to find out what information you can find out.
And it's different doing a public place versus a private home as well.
Yeah.
So, you know,
or a paid. Which I do.
Yeah.
You know,
we do. But my point being that when you're helping a resident or doing something residential, it's to help the family understand what's going on versus just going out and doing a, you know, a ghost hunt.
Yeah.
So just want to make sure people don't confuse that. There are teams that just hold ghost hunts and bring people into haunted locations. Mm-hmm. Just to experience it, but there's also teams dedicated just to helping people.
And that's one thing I've learned.
Issues.
You know, since the last show, or our show number two, or whatever it was.
A long time ago.
One thing I did learn is that there are differences in that. There's teams out there that you'll never hear about because they don't advertise. And the reason they don't advertise is because they only do the residential places and help people.
Right. Yeah. Because, you know, a lot of times people don't understand or have activity in a home or attached to a person. Mm-hmm. And it's personal and it's private, and some people don't understand it or don't want other people to know, you know, that they're going through something like that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's like they're, you know, it's a personal choice.
And they're very discreet when they come up to a location. They don't show up in the big black vans and start running cable and
also, you know, if you're having somebody come and investigate your house because you're having an issue or you don't understand something, you don't want the people who are just in it for ghost hunting to know about that, because mm-hmm. then they show up on your doorstep or they're sitting outside of your house
mm-hmm.
or asking you to come in and do it. They're not there to help you. They're there to help themselves. And that's the difference.
And it's entertainment.
Right.
It's entertainment. And, you know I keep saying it, but that's what I do, because I don't consider myself a paranormal investigator, but I do investigations.
Right. We don't go to residential homes Mm-mm. and try to help people understand what's there. We just go to public places.
Yeah. But if you are having an issue, you know, feel free to contact us and we'll put you in touch with the team
reputable
in your area.
Teams. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we're not going to send somebody over to you who has not had, you know, the work done in the field mm-hmm. or been in the business for more than 10 years because you have to be very careful who you let into your house.
And do background checks.
Yeah, definitely do a background check, or, you know, ask the team to provide their bio, or mm-hmm. or maybe they will give you some references of people that they've worked with in the past. And
if it is so serious that you're looking for someone to be private,
mm-hmm.
you'll know, because they'll come out with the questionnaires and they'll ask mm-hmm. you questions and they'll say, you know, because I do know that in a lot of incidences, people have contacted these teams and it turned out that they just wanted to have a party.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? That's the hard part. It's there are people out there that need help.
Mm-hmm.
They're having issues. They could be having poltergeist activity, or they could be having intelligent hauntings. Residual hauntings can be scary too.
Well, yeah,
they could have demonic activity mm-hmm. or...
You just don't know. You see someone...
Shadows.
...walk past your house and you're like, okay, that person doesn't live here. And then the next time they do it again and they do it again. And you're like, okay, this house is haunted. We need help. So,
or on the other spectrum, it could be that there is a mental health issue and the person isn't seeing ghosts. And it takes a seasoned investigator to be able to recognize the difference between a mental health mm-hmm. issue and just somebody who thinks they see spirits or somebody who really does see spirits.
And that all goes back to the initial interviews and all mm-hmm. that happen months before they show up at the house.
Right.
Now, on the other hand, though, if you do have, you feel that your house is haunted and you want a team to come in just to investigate, that's okay, too.
Right.
And a lot of teams, you know, just get a hold of the teams in the area and they'll come out. And
make sure that if you do have somebody come out to your house, that you and that team have an agreement of what can be released.
Oh, yeah. I forgot
socially.
About that.
Mm-hmm. So if you do not want them to post pictures of the inside of your house or what you have or mm-hmm. your grandma's china cabinet or whatever it is, make sure that that's very clearly spelled out in the contract that you have between them coming in, because you never know. Somebody could be, we went to the house on Main Street
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden pictures of the insides of your house is out there.
Yeah.
And somebody sees what you have, and the next thing you know, you're broken into. So just
they
be
could
very,
have,
very carefully who you, one, let in and what you'll allow on social media.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to let them know, and then a good, reputable team will talk to you about that stuff.
Right.
Now, like I said, you can, if you want your house investigated and you just want to have fun, that's okay. But you got to make that clear.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of these teams really take it seriously to where they don't want to do that. Now, there are teams out there that will do that.
Right.
You know?
It depends on what level of privacy you want.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure that they understand that, you know, I don't know how to say this. So just, you know, make sure that they understand what your end goal is.
Yeah.
So if you're seeing grandma, you know, in the kitchen, and they come in and say, go to the light, grandma, But you don't want grandma to go to light. Mm-hmm. You're okay with seeing her. You just want to understand why she's here.
Yeah.
You don't want grandma, you know, somebody coming in and yelling at grandma to leave. You know what I mean? Like
I do when I show up at family.
Yeah,
family
you wouldn't
things.
Go into somebody's yeah. house and yell at their grandma who's still living, you know, like, go to the light. This red light outside, grandma.
Yeah.
No, but, you know, just make sure that that person has the temperament and the maturity
mm-hmm.
and the longevity in the business.
Yeah, that's part of our first half of the show is just be careful of who you have in your house. We've heard too many horror stories from all over the country. So next on the list, let's talk about equipment.
Okay.
Let's talk about what you can buy to do your ghost hunting. I know that we're first few minutes of the show were about having people come to your house, but the email asked, you know, how do they get into it?
Mm-hmm.
So some of the equipment, let's start off with the most basic, is the K2 meter, your cameras, whether it be video or still camera.
Mm-hmm. A flashlight.
Your digital recorder, mm-hmm. very important.
Yeah.
You know, so those are the basics. You know, dowsing rods, very easy to use, and I think very reputable.
Yeah, I mean, it's something, it doesn't get interference from mm-hmm. a battery or from radio waves. It's, you know, anybody can use them. Mm-hmm. They're not scary.
And I think they're very, and that's another thing too, I'll mention in a few minutes. It doesn't affect the ghosts.
Yeah.
In my mind. But so your basic equipment, if you want to go out and buy some equipment, K2 is a must.
Mm-hmm.
Your camera, whether it be still or video, your digital recorder.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get into like your spirit box, which is a great tool.
Yeah, we use that a lot. Well, actually, we use it on every investigation mm-hmm. we go to.
You know, and then you can get, once you get into it, mm-hmm. you know, don't go out and spend tons of money to begin with. Get into it. Get used to using the equipment. Notepad and a pen.
Yeah.
That's important because you document.
Have a watch or, you know, a lot of, I mean, almost everybody has a cell phone now. Mm-hmm. So you can document the time something happens. One of the other, you know, the you said notebook and pen. Sorry, I had a brain fart.
But one thing too, I mean, you can use your cell phone, but make sure you put your cell phone in airplane mode because that will affect your EMF detectors and stuff.
Yeah.
There are apps that you can buy for your phone. I don't know about apps.
I don't know either.
I don't trust them.
It's internet-based, so, you know, it could have any kind of random something generator.
I mean, who's
it.
To say that they don't work or they work or they don't? Because I've heard one of our good friends that's a paranormal investigator, he travels the country lecturing and stuff, and he loves one of the apps. Mm-hmm. I forget what it's called now, but he loves his app for his phone. He says it works all the time, you know. Stick with the basics at first. Stick with your K2 meter. That I use the K2 meter every single time. I always have it in my pocket,
mm-hmm.
on, sticking out so I can see the lights. So if you wanted to buy your top three, it would be K2 meter, digital recorder, and your camera.
Yep.
And, you know, my whole thing about orbs.
Yeah, Joe's a big proponent of
if you use your cell phone, you're going to get orbs.
Yeah.
You know, if you use flash on your point and shoot, you're going to get orbs. I could talk for an hour. But
listen to our show on orbs.
We have captured light anomalies.
Yes.
There's a huge difference. And I'm telling you, we were at the Bone House.
Oh, my
and we
goodness.
Saw light anomalies with our own eyes.
Yeah.
So that's different.
Yeah. You know, I always say this, and I've said this on other shows, your best ghost hunting tool is your body.
Oh, yeah.
Your senses. Mm-hmm. Your sight, your hearing, your eyes, your touch, your feel.
Yep.
Sometimes,
you know,
your taste.
part of that goes back to safety.
And
don't
smells.
Get drunk. Don't get high. Mm-hmm. Don't smoke during investigation because then it looks like ectoplasm or whatever. You know, just common sense.
Yeah, common sense things. Say anything that's going to alter your heart rate,
mm-hmm.
your vision, or your brain function. You have to be very careful. Too much caffeine can cause jittery feelings, mm-hmm. which sometimes you feel when you're on an investigation if they say a spirit is too close. We've experienced it, that feeling that mm-hmm. somebody's standing next to you, you just get that tingly feeling.
Yeah.
Too much caffeine can cause that. Too much EMF can cause that.
Yeah, there's the EMF pump. which I don't like. We were at the Toledo Yacht Club and somebody was using it, and I got close to this thing, and I'm telling you, it affects you.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
You have to be careful too, because like, I'll just give you an example of, you know, for safety reasons. I had my bed against the wall where my electrical box was, mm-hmm. right underneath my bedroom. And so my head was against the wall, so it was basically right over where that electrical box was. And I was feeling ill. Mm-hmm. I was very paranoid. I had a rash. And these are all symptoms of being too close to EMF.
Yeah.
It can physically affect you, so you have to be very careful. And if you careful.
Have your K2 meter, check your house.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Definitely.
And that's a good thing, too, is when you're using your EMF detector, whether it be the K2 or some of the other things, like your Melmeter and that. Mm-hmm. Walk around the place. Do your initial walk around with the lights on and that so you can see where the things are. Mm-hmm. I found at one of the locations that we go to a lot, we always got hits in this one area. And when the lights were on, I looked up in the rafters and there was a
Wi-Fi
modem hidden in the rafter.
Yeah.
You know, but... So you go from there. You go from your K2 to your digital recorder to your camera. And if you want to step up a little more, one thing that I want to get is a REM pod.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a proximity detector. That will detect the EMF as it comes closer to it.
Right.
And I love them.
Yeah,
sometimes cool. They're annoying, but it's a great tool to use.
What's nice about it has four different colored lights on it. So... if you're trying to do some scientific type things, you can ask the spirit to light up a certain color.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you just get a blip of all the colors going, mm-hmm. but if you're asking specific questions or specific demands,
mm-hmm.
Then, you know, you may be able to prove, okay, so-and-so is here, only light up blue. Okay, light up blue, red. So if it's following your command... you know, you may have contact with that spirit.
And it's another thing, too, is that the whole reason behind this thing is to let you know that a spirit has moved into the room.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember at the old South Main School, we had a spirit that was playing with our two REM pods. One was up in the attic or upstairs, and one was downstairs. And we'd go downstairs, and the one upstairs would go off. We'd go down upstairs, and the one downstairs would go off. So... it's a proximity detector that detects if the spirit's close, and it gives you a heads-up warning. Another thing is just a motion detector. A lot of people use motion detectors.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I look at motion detectors as under the safety.
Yeah.
Not so much as using it for ghost hunting, but as a safety thing. Put those motion detectors by the doors.
We could have used those at St. Joseph's. Mm-hmm. So Joe and I were at hospital. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say... I'll mention that in safety, but yeah, we were at the hospital. We could have used that a couple of times.
Yeah.
Other things that you can buy, like a laser grid.
Which are very inexpensive. Very expensive. You can get them for like $7 to $10. Mm-hmm. And what it does is it puts out multiple beams of light. And you guys have probably seen them, but you know, if you haven't heard of it. So it puts out a patterned grid on the wall of light. So if there is something walking through there, it will break the beam of light and you may be able to detect the spirit.
Yeah, actually see the shadow or the spirit in the dots. Mm-hmm. And that's good to use with your video camera.
Yes.
Because you can actually, when you're doing your reviews, you can actually speed up the film. So you're not looking at it for 6 hours. You can actually speed it up until you see something move and then you can slow it down.
And a lot of times when you do get evidence or something, a lot of times it's when you're not in the room. So you'll leave it on with your camera and your laser grid, and you may be surprised of what you get. You know, just letting it go and leaving the room be, like we did at the hotel.
Yeah.
In the suicide room.
One of the next things that you want to get on your list of things to get is a spirit box.
Yes.
This is a radio that sweeps the radio band so fast that it just is static, and you'll actually hear voices in there. Now, if you're in a city like we are, or if you're in Chicago or wherever, you'll get a lot of radio stations, but you want to listen for words, not just bits of words.
Yeah, like direct answers to your questions, sentences.
Sentences are a big thing. We've actually heard sentences. It freaks you out when you hear sentences.
Yes, it does.
Because it's sweeping the radio band, and all you hear is or you'll hear people going,
Yeah, you might get little blips, but a lot of times Joe and I put it on reverse. So mm-hmm. it's sweeping the radio frequencies in reverse. So, you know, it's hard to...
Well, it's just it's less time on that frequency, yeah. So the DJs aren't saying full words.
Right. So, and here's a really cool thing that happened with a spirit box and why we love to use it so much. And I'll make it real quick because I've told the story before on another show, but new listeners may want to hear this. So we were in the historic cemetery here in Toledo. And within the cemetery, there's a military section. So it has grave sites of military veterans from the Spanish-American War all through the modern-day wars, like within the last year or so, at the time that we were there, which was, what, 2 years ago, Joe, or a year?
Oh, it has to be. Yeah. Probably a year ago.
Okay, so we're in there, and we just got the spirit box. It was brand new to us. And I was in there, and Joe's off looking at graves, and I'm going by, and I'm reading the names of the soldiers that are on the graves and just announcing, like, thank you for your service. We appreciate what you've done and your sacrifices. As I'm doing this, I said, is there anybody here with us? And all of a sudden I hear, hi, how are you? Hola.
Yeah.
Hey. It was like multiple voices and multiple tones of voice, you know, different voices, different languages. Mm-hmm. Talking and it was the freakiest
what did thing. It say when you asked or how many are here?
It said all of us.
Yeah. Another was, one too. Woo! And I was looking for it. It's in a video done by Haunted Toledo.
Mm-hmm.
We're on a bridge in outside Toledo, and it's a very haunted bridge, and I was down below the bridge looking at it, and I could hear Jen up doing the spirit box. And she says, what's the name of this bridge? And clear as day, it said Gibbs.
Which is the name of the bridge.
Yeah.
And then you hear me go, Joe, it's just like Gibbs. It was so exciting because it was like the first time that we really got good mm-hmm. responses with our new spirit box. Yeah. So,
I mean, class A,
yeah.
no doubt, it said Gibbs.
Yeah, that was really mm-hmm. cool.
So the next thing... After you get used to this lower priced equipment, you might want to step up to some more expensive stuff like the Melmeter, which is an EMF and temperature meter. You've got the Ovilus, which we have. It's the Ovilus 5. You're talking like, what, $200, $300 for that?
I think we paid like $350. Yeah.
The Ovilus, which is a great tool. It actually, the spirits can put words.
Yeah.
I know the Ovilus 5 has different features, but the main thing is it prints words out.
So it has a data bank of about 20,000 different words in mm-hmm. its dictionary. So I've used it. Joe's used it. We've gotten direct answers. I had it in my house one time and I was going through something and I was talking and the names of the two people of the situation I came across, like mm-hmm. clear, just boom, boom. And I was like, oh, great.
Yeah.
It was very interesting, mm-hmm. but we love it because it will, you know, it will definitely give you what you're asking.
Yeah. Another thing, if you want to go a little bit more expensive, is the SLS camera, which I want so bad.
I know you do.
And what that is a structured light sensored camera, and you actually see like a stick figure.
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking at this, you're looking in a room and there's nothing there. And you look down on the camera and you can see stick figures that respond to you.
So what it does is it maps the kinetic energy. Like if we put it in front of Joe, it's like the Xbox things when you're playing yeah. Xbox games or does facial recognition. Well, this does body point mm-hmm. recognition.
It's sort of like the laser grid. It sends out the lasers
mm-hmm.
and then it reads those lasers and it reads what it tells you distance and everything.
I think they have temperature on that too.
I think so.
It has a couple different mm-hmm. like you know, temperature, maybe air, not air quality. What do you call it?
Like barometric?
That's it.
Oh,
that's,
okay. That's, I don't know if it has that, but. And then you go into like your more expensive stuff. You can get a flare camera, which is like a
infrared, yeah, like infrared. High tech, like the military grade stuff. You know, like if you're looking for some.
There's another meter out there called a EDI meter, and this is expensive.
Never heard of that one.
This, you've seen them.
Okay.
It's a multimeter. It runs $299.95.
Oh.
And that does, that has a data log, EMF meter with sound,
and
readout. It reads the ambient temperature. It has a vibration sensor, a pressure and humidity. So this is an all-in-one.
Yeah, yeah, that would be.
I've seen a few of them used, and they're really good tools, but they're expensive.
Yeah.
I mean, now, some of the different things that you can get for close to zero, a couple of things that we use. One is the plasma ball.
Yeah.
That's the new thing that we've been using.
Yeah.
And that's used so in conjunction with your camera. Same thing as the laser grid. You put it down, and you know what, you've all seen the laser or the plasma ball. You touch it and the little
electricity
goes to your hand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a great thing to use. You know, just use these different tools. Now, also, I don't really recommend it, but I've seen people use candles.
Yeah.
Because you got open flame in an old building.
Right, exactly. Just be very, very cautious. But, you know, even if you're at your home and maybe you're wanting to connect with somebody, you can use a candle and the flame, you know, has a little bit of a flicker to it. You can ask questions and they can, spirits could raise that flame.
Yeah.
So just be very, very, very careful. Yeah.
It's sort of like using the flashlight, which I don't know. I don't believe in flashlight.
Yeah, the on-off light. So what you do is you screw the bulb just enough that it spirit. Yeah, the spirit can use its energy
turn
to
turn it on and off. And, you know, we've used it, and it's just like, okay, now turn it off, and it flickers a little bit, then it goes off. And, oh, thank you. Now turn. I'm like, it seems like it's responding, but. Who knows?
Well, we've in the Gill house in the basement used two. So like, you know, you kind of have
like a yes and no.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's that's a little bit subjective, but, you know, try it. It can't hurt to try. Document what you what you've done and see what you can come up with.
Yeah. You know,
trigger objects.
Mm hmm.
You know, like if you're going into a place where there may have been children spirits, we've been in many locations where there have been ghost, you know, reported ghost children. We've been balls, stuffed animals, matchbox cars because they're easy to move. We've had matchbox cars move in investigations at the St. Joseph Hospital. You know, those are really easy things. Children are always attracted to toys. So, you know, it's something that gives them a level of comfort if you're, you know, wanting that spirit to come close to you. Now, we've had up in the intensive care had what looked like and felt like and sounded like children running past us. So, you know, just I know Joe and I, we take a Beanie Baby. We should get a matchbox car. We don't have one. A ball. Something very simple to roll.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't take a lot of energy for the spirit to move that.
And always, when you're using stuff like that, make sure you mark where they were and stuff. Because you come up and you're like, oh, it didn't move, but it actually did.
Yeah. So, you know, if you take a little piece of chalk or something that's not going to ruin the environment or, you know, something.
Even if it's like the blue painter tape.
Yeah.
Just dab a, not push down hard, but just dab a piece.
Yeah, because, you know, you want to be respectful of the environment that you're in. You know, you could take flour, like baking flour.
Or salt.
Salt. but flour, you can put it on lightly or... I don't recommend baby powder only because people can be allergic to baby powder and have very
bad... And it gets in the air and makes orbs.
Yeah, exactly. but you could put it down and you may see... You know, if you think a ghost is walking through there like a, you know, residual haunting, they may walk and leave a footprint or something.
Which kind of brings us to safety. Our next thing on the list here is safety. this is big. You know, we talk about equipment and all that, but safety is the number one, really, because you're going into old buildings. You have no clue what's around there. You really have to look at the environment before you go in. Dress for the environment.
Absolutely. You know, Joe and I have been in many, many, many old dusty buildings mm-hmm. and come out and gotten very sick afterwards because of the lung infections from the dust and the dirt and the mold.
I had cave disease after coming out of mm-hmm. Cave in the Rock. They said that I breathed in a spore mm-hmm. and just got some kind of, it knocked me out for a good week and a half.
Yeah, so you have to know your environment that you're going in. Mm-hmm. Is it going to be hot? Is it going to be cold? Is it going to be moist? Is there going to be mold? Is there going to be standing water?
Yeah. Dust.
Dust.
Is the floor going to hold you?
Yeah. So.
You know, I know that you mentioned about the kid that actually fell through. It fell through the floor?
Yeah. So there was an abandoned building here in Toledo. And this is very recent. So, you know, I'll try to be very respectful of the family. But they were urban exploring. They weren't ghost hunting, as far as I know. But they went into an abandoned building and 16-year-old kid stepped on a floorboard and it was rotted and he fell to his death.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be very, very careful. Joe and I have been in attics. With the floorboards are very spongy, I guess you would call it.
Yeah.
You have to be very careful.
Or there could be holes in the floor, like at the Bone House, there's actually holes in the floor. And if you're in the dark.
Which I did. Yeah. I put my foot into a hole and tripped. I mean, I could have easily broke my ankle. Mm-hmm.
So some of the things that you want to get for safety, your flashlight, obviously. And one thing I recommend, if you get a flashlight, try to find a red filter for it.
Yeah.
That's something I'm attaching to all my lights because it doesn't affect your eyes and you can acclimate your eyes quicker. But dress for the environment. Mm-hmm. Very important. Now, you don't want to wear loud shoes, but really in some of these environments, you got to wear boots.
Yeah.
You have to wear hard sole boots.
You don't know if there's rusty nails sticking up. You know, there could be rodents or, you know, in different locations, there could be snakes or scorpions. So you have to be very careful. Mm-hmm. Anytime we get into, and I'm not saying we're going into every old building. I mean, we've been in modern buildings, you know.
But there's danger in modern buildings too that you don't, I mean, there could be a nail sticking up. Who knows?
Yeah. So just be aware of your surroundings.
You could have a wall pushed over on you like I did at the, you know, the ghost could push the wall over, which happened to me.
Yeah.
You know, a dust mask. Put a dust mask in your kit.
Yeah.
Don't worry about looking like a dork wearing one. You know.
It's not worth your health to get.
I'm telling you. We go into some, like, if I would have had a mask when we were in Cave in the Rock, I would not have got sick.
I'll give you an example. Joe and I went to an abandoned hospital. They had to ghost hunt it in there for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fine. Somebody had broke the windows, broke some pipes. There was standing water. Mold started growing. I'm not kidding. We walked into where the ER was. I was like, oh, that's a fun wallpaper. Wasn't wallpaper. No. It was mold.
Yeah.
Black mold growing up the wall.
And not just little patches. It looked like wallpaper.
Yeah. It was like,
so you got to know your environment.
Because if you touch the wall, that releases it.
Yeah.
And you accidentally rub your nose or your eyes or your mouth.
Everybody that's in that room got it. So you got it. Don't touch the walls.
Preach, Joe, preach.
Don't touch the walls.
You know, talk about physical safety of knowing your environment.
The big thing is the most dangerous thing that you're going to run into is the living.
Yeah.
We went into the old abandoned hospital and there were doors open.
Mm-hmm. Or
propped open so that the people can get in. Yeah.
Yeah. Homeless people.
We walked. Now,
kids.
It looked like an older den or whatever, but somebody was living there. You don't know what you're going to run into. And the most dangerous thing are the living.
Yeah.
Homeless people.
If you are going into an investigation and you're unclear, and you have clearance to be in there, don't get me wrong. Don't be going into place. Yeah, don't trespass. You don't want to get arrested. Call the police. Have them do a walkthrough before you go through.
Which we've done.
Mm-hmm.
And also, that's good to call the police and let them know you're going to be there because you never know what's going to happen. And if you don't show up back at home, someone says, well, they're ghost hunting. And the police are like, where? And they're like, oh, okay, we've heard of that. Or even, we've had situations where we're ghost hunting legally,
mm-hmm.
and the cops show up, and all of a sudden you're seeing flashlights and all this, and you're like, what is going on?
Well, yeah, because they're in there. They don't know you're in there. Mm-hmm. You turn around with a piece of equipment in your hand, and they're trying to shoot to kill.
Yeah.
You may get a shot.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's going to happen, but, you know.
You don't have to call the police if you're paying for an event or that, but if you're going into these places, maybe you want to let someone know. And that's a big thing, too. Let someone know where you're going.
And don't go alone.
Yeah.
Don't go alone.
Take water. Take snacks.
Snacks. Snacks is very important.
Know your location. That's the big thing. And even like when we're snowmobiling, you got to know what you're doing, where you're at. You know? The next thing is she asked me, how do I find these places? It's real easy. You can Google. Look it up on the web, type in your location, type in ghost, you know.
Mm-hmm. Haunted locations.
Haunted location or
ghost hunts.
Public ghost hunts in your area.
Yeah.
Get on Facebook.
There's a million paranormal groups. They will tell you where to go or mm-hmm. what they're hosting.
And even if you want to go to an event, ask them. Most will say is no.
Yeah. And if you can't afford it, maybe let them know. Say, you know, I can't afford it, but maybe I can do some free advertising or social media for you or...
Haul equipment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something. You'll find, and that's one thing I've learned since we've been in this, 99.999999% of these teams are nice people.
Yeah.
They are real,
they're willing to help you if you're willing to learn.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And we've learned a lot. We've learned so many lessons from, you know, being on investigations, being able to, you know, being invited to go to places we'd never have access to.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So that's it. You know, that's usually the hard part is finding the places. There's websites out there dedicated to it. Just start searching.
And go to a convention. Go to a paranormal convention. There's a lot of them. A lot of times there's free talks at libraries mm-hmm. around Halloween time. There's ghost hunting classes. I know locally here in Toledo we have ghost hunting classes. Or if you just don't know, just contact us and we'll find you somebody in that area.
Yeah.
You know, just leave us a message on our Facebook page. Mm-hmm.
Just let us know what city you're in. But it's if you can contact us, you can look it up also.
Yeah,
you know?
True. But, you know, some people might just feel more comfortable. Yeah. But anyways.
I want to go over our procedure real quick. I know we're running a little late. But when we show up a location, I always do a walkthrough. You look at the building. I walk around the outside and kind of look for places to get in.
Mm-hmm.
Like a chupacabra could get in and look around.
Bigfoot.
But just kind of do a walk around, kind of get familiar with the place. If you're paying to go to it,
mm-hmm.
you know, it doesn't hurt to get to know the building. You know, even if the person that's putting it on wants to wait till everybody's there and then do like a group thing.
Mm-hmm.
But while the lights are on, really study the environment, study what's out there. Because once the lights are off, you kind of know where you're going.
And it's easy to get lost. I mean, we were in an abandoned hospital that had corridor after mm-hmm. corridor and they all looked the same and there was staircases and you know you get maybe separated from the group or something you know just mm-hmm. be very cautious.
Keep your cell phone with you but put it on airplane mode.
Take some breadcrumbs and leave a trail.
So basically what I do is my procedure is I go into a location. First line of defense is the K2 meter. Once you establish some communication, you know, you go in. The standard thing is anyone here, that kind of thing. And talk to them as if you're talking to a real person. You know, don't go in there and, you know, is anybody here? Light up this meter. They may not know what that meter is.
Right.
Explain to them, you know, hi, my name's so-and-so. I'm just here to talk to you. I'm here to learn. I have some equipment that I made. It's not magic. We just made it, you know, stuff like that.
And be respectful to the people who are there because... they're there for a reason. They're either tied to the location. It could have been their home. It could have been their place of work. It's important for you to respect the location as mm-hmm. well as the person's passed on. You don't go into a living person's house and say, talk into this meter. You but introduce yourself. You talk to them.
Introduce yourself. And that's
you
part
get
of
to know them.
My style is I'll actually, now you need to also know the years of the ghosts that supposedly are in there so that you know how to talk to them. You don't go in And if it's from the 1800s, you're not going, yo, do what be happening, you know?
You might not understand that.
Yeah, so what I usually do, okay, this is my procedure. I use the K2 meter. Once I establish that there's something there, I'll sit there and I'll be like, oh, hi, I'm Joe. This is so-and-so, you know? And I'll even, there's been times where if I'm talking to kids, I'll get down on the floor. I'll sit down on the floor and say, hi, my name's Joe. Come on over and play with me. It's all right. You know, I'll talk as if I can see them,
yeah,
which I can't, but right. I talk as if I, because you want to establish that communication.
And trust.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Once you establish that with your K2, if you're, you know, reach the point where the K2 is just going nuts, move on to the other equipment. Get out the spirit box. Get out your melmeter, your, well, the melmeter would be a K2, but get out your obelisk or whatever you have and document. Document the time. Document mm-hmm. what happened. You know, if you have the digital recorder, that's an awesome way to document
because
mm-hmm. you can go back and listen. But once I establish communication, I'll use my different tools to talk to that spirit. And then if you notice that the conversation is getting dull or you can tell that the spirit's leaving, you can say, well, thanks for talking to me. Mm-hmm. If anytime you want to come, you know, if I come back, I'd love to talk to you again, that kind of thing. So don't just walk into a room, throw a meter on the floor and scream, light this meter up.
Which we've seen and heard in investigations. Many
times.
You know, one thing I like to do, and I forget to do sometimes, but we should do, is make sure you take a baseline reading of the temperature too, because mm-hmm. we've been in sweltering hot attics, melting our faces off, makeup running down my face, and all of a sudden it's ice cold.
Yeah.
I mean, ice cold. Mm-hmm. You know a spirit is present.
You know, and that comes with, like, whatever meter you have, whether it's the Mel meter or the EDI meter, you know, whichever you have. Or even, and I want to buy a handheld weather station.
Yeah.
It tells you temperature net, and it also, which is a big help, is it tells you wind speed.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so many times where there'll be wind going through the house. Like when we're at the Shanley Hotel in New York, we were getting so much activity, but it was just the current air current coming up the steps.
Yeah. So it's just things to be mindful, mm-hmm. you know, because you want to make sure that you're not presenting false information.
Mm-hmm.
But
we're debunkers. That's the whole thing, is you find this stuff and you debunk why it happened. And then there's that 10% that you can't explain.
Yeah, like seeing full body apparitions.
Yeah,
I mean, you just
exactly. There's
nothing like it. And I'm telling you,
you're there to find them. So when you do see them, don't scream and run out of the room,
or stare at them and not say a word.
Yes, like, Jen.
What do I say? But
and then they look at you like, "Hello, I'm right here. You know, why are you staring at me?"
And you know, here's a couple things too. You know, a lot of times when their spirit's present, you may smell different smells. Like
yeah.
a lot of times we cigar smells,
mm-hmm.
perfumes. Just be wary of the perfumes that you wear. Don't spray yourself with cologne before you go in, because that could give a false positive. Dupe. A false positive.
Yeah.
Chewing, you know, like cinnamon gum, because a lot of times people would be like, I smell something.
Mm-hmm. If you're doing an EMF with your digital recorder,
Don't
whisper. A lot of people think, well, I better whisper because that way it won't pick up. But no, don't whisper. Yeah. And if you know, talk to the recorder. Say, recorder, I'm moving. Or that was me, recorder. Or just say out loud, my stomach is growling. You know, stuff like that.
It just saves you time when you're reviewing your mm-hmm. evidence to weed out what you may have heard in Joe's
noise
stomach
outside.
Growling. And be respectful of people who, like, we've been in investigations where there's a group of people right outside the door and they're having a laugh and talking and blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. And then people are in trying to, you know, investigate 25 feet away, and then you're contaminating their...
Yeah, I've thrown out so much because you can't hear anything because people are talking. And believe it or not, it picks it up.
It does.
It picks it up big time. And even if you think you're being quiet, just double think that, you know?
And, okay, I know we're preaching people, but when you do ask a question, give the time to let whatever entity mm-hmm. or spirit respond. It may take them a while to muster the energy to give you a response. Mm-hmm. So make sure you pause and listen and just let them you know.
Yeah, because they're on a different wavelength than us, you know, and how do we even know what we sound to them?
We could sound like one thing
that I forgot to mention.
There's a lot of things for free.
Yeah. One thing that I would really like to research is like the REM pod or the EM pump or even the plasma ball. I'm wondering if that hurts the spirits because it is, in a way, it is putting out something, you know. That's just something I want to throw in there real quick. And it's not, I don't have any research yet, but it kind of makes me wonder if stuff like that hurts the spirits.
Right. Does it energize them or does it deplete them?
And one other thing that I forgot to mention is batteries. Batteries. So, yeah, just
to tie up and wrap up.
When you're done with the investigation is very important. We preach this all the time. Close the event. Whenever you leave, what I do is before I step over that threshold, I always say if there's any spirits attached to us, because I always say, because, you know, all night long we're saying, come talk to us, come talk to us, come talk to us, touch us if you want, all that kind of stuff. I always say a prayer, basically banishing them from attaching to you.
Yeah.
Whether it be a religious prayer or just like I do, I walk out, I say,
it's a cantation.
If there's any spirits attached to me, you cannot follow me home. You cannot attach to me. I'll be happy to come back and visit, but you have to stay here.
Yeah.
Put your equipment by your car. Let your equipment sit outside a little bit. Maybe sage your equipment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Sage spray.
I do know that when we left the bone house, Sarah actually blessed all of us with holy water. She blessed the equipment. She blessed our cars.
Yes.
Because the bone house is extremely haunted, and it's very easy to get an attachment at the very haunted places.
And she's had situations where she's driven home from investigations and looked in the rearview mirror and there was somebody in her back seat.
Yeah.
Hello. Could physically see them and then turn around and nobody's there. So, you know, it happens. If you talk to any seasoned investigator, they will tell you things follow you home. If you don't close that portal or make it very clear that they cannot enter your private space, they'll come with you because, you know, it's happened. It's happened to me.
Like I said, all night long we're saying, come talk to us, come talk to us, come talk to us.
I mean, Joe and I, after we went to Moundsville Prison in West Virginia, I had more activity in my house. We saw a shadow figure fly right between the two of us. Yeah. You know, it's
and
like,
that was a situation where
we forgot.
We just left.
We're so tired, we forgot to say, come with us.
That's why we wanted to finish with the finish is... Yeah. Just that's extremely important. Tell them they're not allowed to follow you home. You'll be glad to come back and visit them, but they cannot follow you home. And sometimes you got to be aggressive. Like when we left the bone house, Sarah blessed us with holy water and said a prayer. And, you know, sometimes you have to have that reverend or someone to actually do it for you. We actually had, for Jen's attachment, we had to have a shaman, Native American shaman. Yeah. So use your sage. Use your sage spray, which you can buy from Jen at some of our events.
It smells so good. And it works.
But, yeah, I want to thank you guys for listening this week to our Babble Fest. It was just something that we wanted to get back to the basics. We have so many people asking us how to get into this, how to do it. But, you know, don't go out and spend thousands of dollars to start out. Get to know your equipment. Buy this cheap stuff. A K2 meter, $59, and buy the real one. Don't buy buy the real one. Go to our website. You'll see our link to Ghost Stop. And click on that. It'll take you right to the Ghost Stop. But don't go to the Ghost Stop before you go there, because it is an affiliate link. And we do get a tiny, tiny bit of the sale.
A little bit.
Get pennies on the set, but it all helps, you know, bandwidth. And it helps keep the show on the air. So... that is our call to action for this week, is go to our website, click on the Ghost Stop link you'll see in the front page. Click on that. Look at the equipment that they sell. Even if you're not buying it.
And they have a big sale going on right now. So, you know, there's always something on sale. There's clearance items. There's refurbished items. So
you can actually learn about the equipment on their site. It's called Ghost Stop. Look it up. You'll see the picture of the little ghost on our website. And click on that, and it's a big help. It is. So anyhow, thanks for listening this week. I know that we may have covered a lot of stuff that we always cover on the show. But you got to do it one more time. And speaking about that, we will leave you with Dead in Five doing Second Season, one of my favorite songs they do.
Loves it. All right, yeah. We'll talk to you later. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Get up on our website. Click on that Ghost Stop Sick link. All right, thanks.
Bye, Joe.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.